I trust you have your handout sheet as we look at Titus once again, chapter 2. And ladies, you know very well, since you've been coming here and sitting through the lessons, that I'm not picking on you tonight. It's not like I was looking at Genesis to Revelation and said, I think I'm going to talk about verses 3 to 5 here of Titus chapter 2. I'm going to let those ladies have it. Last week we talked about the older men, and next week, Lord willing, we'll be talking about the younger men. But tonight, this lesson is going to cover verses 3 to 5, and so I just want to prepare you for that. But also, I think we're really becoming aware of maybe how short-changed we are in many churches today, and even ours to some extent, with all the programs and teaching that we have in place. I think this should help us focus even more. And really, I believe that a lesson like this, as we see the responsibility of the older Christian ladies to the younger, as well as the younger Christian ladies, and their response to being taught the Word of Truth, it could really transform our church, but transform lives and deepen our walk with the Lord and our effectiveness for Him. Let me read verses 3 to 5, and then we'll fill out the study sheet as we go along. It says, "The aged women likewise." Let me go ahead and start with verse 1. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." So this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Just want to clue you into that, okay? I'm supposed to be telling you this, all right? So don't think I've gone to meddling, all right? It says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. And then it begins in verse 3, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Number one, it says if a lady wants to know what she should learn or what she should teach to others, these verses provide the subject matter. I really believe that if you are lacking in purpose and wonder why you're a part of the church and why, you know, what you can do for God, a lot of times we think, I've got to have a position. And yet we find that before the men in Acts 6 were ever given a position, they were already doing the work. Before Paul and Barnabas were ever sent out serving their region and the then known world, they were serving in the church at Antioch. And so we find that God uses busy people anyway. But the people are already in the trenches doing it. And so we don't need a position to do the work of the ministry. And bear in mind, Titus is being told by the Apostle Paul that this is the responsibility not of preachers' wives, but the ladies of the churches. And so this is something that every lady ought to be involved in, either in the category of the aged ladies, the older ladies, or the younger ladies. And so number two says the aged women are women. Notice I put a comma so we won't pause that long. The aged women are women who by the experience of life, years, and the maturity of Christian living, inculcate the following qualities in their lives. Why put inculcate? I don't know. That means to be a part of, to make one. It means to put into, all right? So normally I try to make it a little bit easier. You know, that's just not a word we commonly use. That's why I did that. I don't know. I must have read it somewhere. Okay? And so inculcate the following qualities in their lives. And then he begins and gives us four qualities here that the older ladies are to have in their life. And so this could be a measuring stick, not for us to run up and say, hey, do you measure up to these qualities, you older ladies? But they will be evident. But I trust that as we go through this, you'll be able to ask yourself, hey, do I meet this quality and this qualification here? And it says, holy in behavior. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Now notice that, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. In other words, if a preacher is going to want the ladies to be the best that they can be before God and before society, then these things have to be taught. And it's a holy in behavior. And that means these ladies are to be respectful. They're to be reverent. It means they were to be examples of godly behavior. Okay, the younger ladies should be able to copy them. Everyone follows someone. It's just human nature. We do that. And, you know, I think I made mention to go a couple of weeks in regards to, you know, a lot of times we tie the shoes, or I tie a tie the way I was taught to tie a tie. And, you know, now they've got all these newfangled ways. And when I was in Ontario, they've got all kinds of different knots that you can tie for these things. I wish I didn't have to wear one of these things. But at the same time, you know, they've got all these special knots that you can have, you know. But yet, this is the way I was taught. And so I always do it this way. Someone says, well, why don't you do it different? Because I'm comfortable now this way. It's the way I was taught. And so when you go into the spiritual realm, it's important that we have the older ladies modeling Christianity before the younger ladies, because it's one thing. Have you ever tried downloading something, some directions on how to do something? Or maybe you've opened a box and it says some assembly required, and you pull out these plans and you say, wow, where do I start? Okay, A goes with A and B goes with B, and you're trying to figure all this stuff out. And, you know, it helps you, though. Once you've done it once, then the next time it's a lot easier. Or you have something to go by, and then it's a lot easier. And one thing, when you get into the Bible and you say, okay, I'm supposed to be this way, and I'm supposed to do this, and I'm supposed to do that. Boy, I wish I had some model, someone that I could see. And that's why the older ladies are to set the example for the younger ladies. And it says, holy in behavior. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, just a couple of books up. I want to look at these passages of Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We may make reference back and forth to these, because it's interesting to me that these passages of Scripture here are referencing ladies in the pastoral epistles. Okay, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, in like manner also, because he's already addressed what men are supposed to be doing. It says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. It's not saying that it's wrong to wear jewelry. It's just saying the purpose of it is not to draw attention to ourselves. Okay? That's not the purpose of wearing that stuff. Okay? And what happened is people were thinking that beauty came from the outward appearance and the attention that they could get to the human body. And here Timothy is being told by the Apostle Paul, hey, that's not the way a godly woman operates. And sad to say, the church today has been very unduly influenced by the dictates of the world, the fashions of the world, and we have many Christian ladies feeling like that their self-worth is based upon their good outward looks. But just bear in mind, every raving beauty gets old at some time. I go on, it says here, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Now that's funny. But I suffer. Oh, that's not a comma there either. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Oh, mercy. You know, now I feel like I have to give an explanation. Now, I'm not going to chase that rabbit, okay? She was not teaching, okay? So, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. You know, I cannot tell a joke. These preachers I was with down there in Ontario, they could just tell jokes. They could get up and tell jokes all night. I can't. I got to trip and fall into them. Just like this. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Now go over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Says here in verse 1, and we'll read down to verse 6, it says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, the conversation, you know, by study of the scriptures and by past teaching, that conversation is more than just your verbal communication. We communicate with our eyes, we communicate with our body language, and the way we carry ourselves and so on. And so it says here that the husband could be won by the life, the conversation, the communication of the wife in the home, the godly wife in the home, even if he doesn't go by the Bible. And it says here, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. That means the man is watching. He's watching your faith. He's watching your character. He's watching if you put these Christian virtues in your life and model them. And it says here, verse 3, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. You know, the world has brighter lights. If you go after the lust of the world and the lust of the flesh, there's always going to be someone in the flesh that's more beautiful, better looking. That's the way the devil has it geared. And so that's why it says it's not a matter of trying to compete with the other women. It's not a matter of trying to compete for the eyes of your husband. Okay, it says here in verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. And what that means is she was respectful. She was reverent. She fulfilled her God-given role, and we see the roles of men and women that were given at the fall in Genesis chapter 3. And on it goes, and we'll look at some others in just a few moments. But holy in behavior. So the older ladies need to model holiness in their behavior. And sad to say, many ladies are seeking to be accepted by the younger generation, and so they try to be like the younger generation, trying to grab hold of that which is already past. And there's no spiritual credence to that at all in the Scriptures. We're to be holy before God, and as we model holiness before Him, then it becomes a pattern for the younger generation to follow. And so, letter B, it also says here, if you go back to our text passage of Scripture, it says, as it becomes holiness, not false accusers, not slanderers I put here. Generally speaking, not false accusers, letter B, generally speaking, men have the tendency to physically abuse people. Now notice I said tendency, meaning I'm making a generalized statement. Okay? Men have the tendency to physically abuse people, whereas women have the tendency to verbally abuse people. Now, we can go to the newspapers or maybe the news media, and we could find exceptions to these, and that's why I said generally speaking. Okay? And let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Timothy's being instructed once again by the apostle, and of course we're talking about another man he's been training, Titus. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 2, it says, let me read verse 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. for that is good and acceptable before God. That means pay them back. Okay, it says, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works. In other words, these are the qualities that need to be in and the qualifications for someone who would be destitute. Widows were the poorest of the poor back in those days, and they needed to have people care for them. So God had his own system of care. And that was that the families ought to take care of their own. But if they were in a position where they couldn't take care of the widow, 60 years of age or older, then the church would actually take them in. And the lady would then begin to serve in whatever capacity she could, in prayers, but also doing the work of the ministry and helping out. She would give herself to the work of God. And so it says, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But, you know, it's interesting to me, many of you know that for years, Doris would come in here on her own. When she was able to drive, she would come in and she would sit there in Sandy's office, and where you have the that little foyer area, she would answer the telephone, she would take messages, she would fold bulletins, and she would do things like that. And she was just giving herself. She never received a salary. She just wanted to feel useful. And I wonder if people would give themselves to the work of the Lord like that, how much more effective God's work would be. And we see how she gave herself, and that's a prime example. And we have others that do the same thing. But it says here, let not, verse 9, a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanting against Christ, they will marry. Now, what that means here is they are grieving in their loneliness, and they're not able to overcome that in a sense. And so what they do is they say, I'm not just going to serve the Lord. I want to be married again. I want those household benefits that I used to have when I was married. It's not that they're doing something wrong here. They will marry. It says here, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. Okay, verse 13, and withal they learn to be idle. See, and this is a problem. Okay, if people are not busy, if they're idle, problems set in, gossip and so on, as we see here. And withal they learn. Notice they learn. It's not something they set out to do. It's something they learn to do. Okay, it's a learned behavior. They learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Okay, so not false accusers. And then back to Titus again, chapter 2. It says, not given to much wine. And I make an explanation here. Every time I come to these wine passages, I want to stay here for a while. If you'll take your notes and write Luke 5 down next to wineskins, because that also gives the indication of the scripture that you don't put new wine in old wineskins, because there is the expansion that takes place. And so, because fermentation starts just about immediately. And so I make an explanation of that, and I've hammered that. And Romans 14:21, let's go there. I preached on this topic just a couple of weeks ago and made this point. Romans 14:21. It is good neither to eat flesh nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. So I don't care how you would interpret Scripture. We know that this is such a controversial topic in Christianity that this verse of Scripture, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 8, pretty much says, stay away from it. Stay away from it. Law first mentioned says, stay away from it. And we can stand up here till the cows come home explaining the evils and the detriment that alcohol has played in so many families. All right? And so, not giving them much wine. Okay, and then letter D is teachers of good things, a teacher of good things. This means a teacher of right. Okay, because our fallen nature, people do not need to be taught to do wrong. They need to be taught right. So the older lady is to know right from wrong and impart that to the younger ladies. We're not to make people feel comfortable in their sin. The older ladies ought not excuse the younger lady's sin or the wrong direction they're taking. They need to go up and draw up alongside in the spirit of love and with the word of God and a model of life and help the younger lady align up to the pattern of Scripture that they themselves, the older ladies, have set. Okay, so teachers of good things. The younger should be taught those things that honor Christ, their husbands, and womanhood in the areas of mankind. And I hit all four areas here. In other words, the younger ladies need to be taught by the older ladies spiritual truths. They need to be taught how to handle the various emotions of life. You know, there are things I'm going through now in my 50s that I didn't go through in my 20s. But you know what? I'm not ignorant to what guys in their 20s are going through. I know what a teenager's going through. I know what a 30-year-old's going through. I know what a 40-year-old's going through. I know what the 50s are like. You see? And that's why it's important for me to pass on experientially the truths that I've learned and how we can apply them scripturally and live a life pleasing to God. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so it's not only reading the theory of the Word of God, but also being able to flesh it out in everyday life. And it's so important that our young ladies are taught these things. And so the spiritual aspect, they need to know how to walk with God. When was the last time our ladies got together and say, you know, let's teach our younger ladies how to walk with God? And the older ladies shared, hey, how is your walk with God? What do you do to walk with God? Most younger ladies are never taught how to have devotions. And so here we think of the emotional thing. Ladies, I can't speak with authority about the emotional things that you go through. I can mention it. I can tell what it's like. In some respects, you guys, I see some guys smiling at me like, okay, Pastor, how are you going to get out of this? I'm just going to go to the next verse. Okay? But at the same time, you know what? But you older ladies, you've been there. You've done that. You know it. Help the younger ones through it. Because of the emotional roller coaster of life. I mean, I've never had the baby blues. Never have. Never will. But some of you older ladies have. And you see sometimes signs when a younger lady's going through that. You can help them. I can't help them. But you can. They need you. Oh, dude, we're just going to let them suffer alone. We'll pray for them. Oh, my. They need your help. They need someone to come along and say, hey, I know what you're going through. And help them through it. And so then it says here, they're social. You know, hey, they need to know how to conduct themselves in a social setting in regards to life and family and church and so on, and the kind of friends to have and what to watch out for there. And also the physical life. The proper way, modesty and dress. In a mixed crowd, I can't explain things. But older ladies, you're aware of things. And you can pass that on to the youngers and say, you need to be careful about this and this. You need to be careful how you dress and how tight fitting clothes are. And you need to understand those kinds of things. And you need to set a godly example, older ladies, for the younger ones. Yep. And then you need to say, younger ones, don't do that. Because this is the way it is. And folks, sometimes it's just the way it is. Amen. So, teachers of good things. So, the younger should be taught those things that honor Christ. Their husbands and womanhood in the ears of mankind, spiritual, emotional, social, and physical. Number three. My. Aged women would probably be those, according to the scripture, three score. A score in the Bible is 20 years. So we say three scores, three times 20, okay, 60. You know, I knew that, did you? Aged women would probably be those who are 60 years of age or older from the mere standpoint of experience of life. They have been through life experiences that the younger now find themselves struggling with. By the time you're 60, you're probably past childbearing years. A lot of times your children are grown and gone. And so by that time, you have a wealth of experience. I told my class, I said, the only experts in child rearing are those who don't have any. They're experts. They know how it ought to be done until they have them. And so those who have been through all, you know, the terrible twos and, you know, the puberty aspect of a teen and the teen years and all that maturing and all the wide range of emotions and the peer pressures and the dangers and the temptations, you've been through them. And you can help them. And they need that help. And so 60 years of age, it seems to be scripturally, that's the time to really, older ladies in the faith, really get into their ministry life. It's not all over. It's not kick back and retire, let's go golf every day. It's now we have a platform on which to really minister and help the ladies of our generation. What happens if this generation doesn't pass it on to the next generation? Remember that passage in Joshua chapter 2? There arose a generation which knew not the Lord nor the wonderful works which He had done. We don't want that. And then now we see the younger women. We have a change of gears here. In Titus chapter 2, you see in verse 4, it says that they may teach the young women. So, older ladies, you're to teach the young ladies. You've got a Bible basis for that. That's good to know. God wants you to do that. You have a platform. God's saying, hey, you're supposed to teach the young ladies to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You know, if there ever is a day where talk is cheap, it's today. Talk is cheap. It's the living that makes the difference. And so that's why the older ladies need to be teaching our younger ladies. And notice here, I think that if you were to abide by all this as an older lady teaching the younger ladies, you'd never have a boring day in your life. I mean, that's a plateful. But that's purposeful. That gives you purpose. Okay, let's look at this. The younger women, by influence, though, ought to be teachable. They ought to allow the older to teach them. And, you know, that's a problem with the younger generation. Ah, they don't know. You know, they talk about walking to school 2 miles every single day, coming and going with a flashlight and 3 feet of snow. My mom doesn't know what she's talking about. My dad doesn't know what he's talking about. And that's the way many times, if we're not careful, as a younger generation, we'll think, oh, they're old fogies. They don't know what they're talking about. This is a new generation. And we're not real teachable. And they approach us and they try to help us and we put them off or we give them an insult or we, you know, roll the eyes or take the deep breath and we give the indication that, okay, I hear you, but... And this is where the younger generation of our church have to say, look, I want to be a godly young lady before God. Jesus may come. And I don't want the Word of God to be blasphemed in my life. I don't want to stand at the judgment seat and then hear that there is someone who's going to be at the great white throne that's going to point to me and say, hey, you didn't do right. You didn't live right. I don't want that. You don't want that. You have to be teachable. So, younger generation, don't be a know-it-all. Be teachable. Number two, the older women are to teach the younger women the following things. The older women are to teach the younger women the following things. Letter A, to be sober. Okay, and I mentioned this when I talked about the men. It's not just talking, it can include soberness as far as liquor is concerned, to be sure. But it also means to be serious about the responsibilities of life. In other words, youth have the tendency to be flippant and have a carefree attitude. You know, one of the hardest groups to sell life insurance to is the younger generation. Because they may know that, hey, someday I'm going to die. But it won't be now. It won't be anytime soon. Oh, plan for retirement? Not now. And you know, they say the best time to buy life insurance is when you're young. Because you can get a lot for a little. But many people wait until they're older to get it because then they realize how important it is. Many people don't start in their young days trying to save for retirement. They wait till, oh, wow. It's getting close. What are we going to live off of? We got to do something. See, and that's the way the younger generation is. We're very flippant towards life. Notice I put we. Okay. But we're to be serious about the responsibilities of life. Youth have the tendency to be flippant and have a carefree attitude. The young need to learn mental discipline, to be discerning, and to be clear-headed. You know, some of our young business guys, the older guys, need to be able to draw up alongside you younger guys and give you some sensible advice. But some of it, if you're giving advice, you just flip your nose in the air and act like you know better. And you're throwing wisdom away. God could be sending that person along your way to keep you from heartache. You say, well, I just don't see it. Well, read 1 Timothy chapter 6 and reevaluate. Okay? But letter B, it also means that the older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands. Now, this was interesting when I looked at this. The word love here is philandros, which means to be affectionate as a wife. And 1 Corinthians chapter 7, let's go there. In chapter 5, we know the church is dealing with immorality. We know in chapter 6, towards the end of it, he's dealing with immorality. He gets into chapter 7 and he begins to lay out some principles here for husband and wife relationship. He's also talking about singleness and the blessedness of it. But he says here, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Now, why some of our church families don't understand this is beyond me. There's only one time that a guy ought to be touching a woman in a sexual way, and that is when they're married. So why do we have chaperones? Is it because we're old fogies and we don't know it? You know, we're just not up with the times? No. It's safe. You let your teenagers out there by themselves, a girl. What did you do before you got saved? What did you do when you say you were a professing Christian? Come on. What did you do? Amen. Oh, but your children are different. No, they're not. They're made out of the same stuff you are. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Well, you know, let's just take a... You got a knife on you? Let's just take a little pen knife and cut that one out. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, sexual sin, let every man have his own wife. Let every woman have her own husband. Man, that's pretty clear. That's pretty clear. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. That is a disposition to do good. And this is in a physical context that the husband and wife are to care for each other in the physical realm of the marriage union. And it says here, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. In other words, talking about authority. And it says here, but the husband, and the likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other. That means cheat one another. Don't cheat one another. Except it be with consent for a time. There's only one reason why a husband and wife ought to withhold themselves in the physical union of a marriage relationship, and that is consent. But only for a time and only for spiritual reasons, for fasting and praying. Those are the only reasons. And then it says here, and come together again that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. One of the ways that the devil is attacking today in Christian circles is in the sexual aspect of life. Because it's one of the strongest desires of men and women. And generally speaking, men are excited by sight. And so that's why there's so much in the scripture that women feel like they're getting picked on about their appearance and not dressing improperly. But they have to understand men are generally appealed, the sight appeals to them. And so you have to be careful. Men have to be careful to be sure they have a responsibility to guard their minds, but yet they cannot be provoked in those areas. And then ladies, they're primarily excited by touch. And so that's why it's good for a man not to touch a woman. And dads, don't go and ask your teenager, you don't do that, do you? What teenager is going to say, yeah, we make out in the car? They're not going to say that.
That's right.
We go out looking. We go back behind the house. We go out to the back 40. Takes me a little longer to take her home.
Come on. That's good.
It says here that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Boy, that's pretty strong, isn't it? It's quiet in here. But you know it's the truth. We have to start dealing in reality and not put our heads in the sand and just act like, ooh, we're too spiritual for that. We are flesh and blood. You go to 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12, and David just thought he was going to stay home from battle. He never thought he would end up in bed and then killing another man, a woman's husband. He never thought that. That was never his intent. But it happened. And I'd rather build men than restore men. But they need to be taught here. It says, this proves the point that love... Now, let me go back to letter B. To love their husbands. The word love here is philandros, which means to be affectionate as a wife. This also proves the point that love is a character trait and not an emotion. You know how many times a woman said, I just don't love my husband anymore. And the husband said, I just don't love her anymore. Well, then love her. Then love him. Well, I just don't feel it. Love's not a feeling, it's a commitment. An emotion can be controlled, whereas a character trait can be developed. Love is both a choice and a commitment. The younger need to be taught this truth. When you're going through all the changes of life and you've got three or four children in the home at various stages and ages and you've been up all night and, you know, that maybe one's sick or maybe three or four of them or all of them are sick and you know, things are going awry and money's tight and things are hard. They need to be taught that love's a commitment. Man, if we went by our feelings all the time, we would hardly go to work. We'd go fishing every day. Amen. I'm waiting. Okay. All right. Then it says, letter C, to love their children. Isn't that interesting? That this, our Bible is telling us that the older women need to teach the younger women how to love their children. And the word here is philotechnos. Philotechnos, which means to nurture in a maternal sense. Mothers have to be taught how to properly care for their children. And we are not just speaking of feeding and changing of diapers. We are speaking of issues that entail obedience, discipline, security, and spirituality. And would to God we'd have some older ladies that would be vulnerable enough to say, look, even to the sense that, hey, I've made some mistakes. I've done some things wrong. If I had to do it over again, I'd do this over again. In Sunday school a couple months ago, I taught a lesson on if I ever had to do it over again. I mean, you build a house and what do you say? If we ever do it again... You can build another one and then you say, if we ever do it again, why can't we be that honest in life and help the next generation? Hey, I did this one time and it didn't work out right. Don't do this. To love their children. Letter D, to be discreet. They must be taught to practice self-control, to be discerning in family matters. Okay? To be discreet. They need to be taught. The older ladies need to say, hey, younger ladies, you don't need to get together at your little coffee shop talk and downgrade your husbands. And you don't need to call on the phone and say, well, I wish my husband was more like your husband or this was like that. You need to keep your mouth shut. And the older ladies need to say, there are just some things you need to be discreet about. The whole world doesn't need to know. Just because somebody asks, you know what I tell couples when they get married? And they go on their honeymoon. I say, now, you know, some people have no sense. And you're going to go on your honeymoon and people are going to try to dig into your relationship, what your honeymoon was like. And I said, you know what? It's none of their business. And if you don't feel like telling them, you don't tell them. Just because someone asks a question doesn't mean you have to answer it. And you're not being dishonest. If somebody asks you a question and you don't answer it, it doesn't mean you're dishonest. It doesn't mean you're hiding something. You could just be discreet. You could be exercising wisdom. Okay? All right? So be discreet. They must be taught to practice self-control. I mean, sometimes you do feel like pulling your hair out. Sometimes you do feel like drop kicking. Sometimes you do feel like throwing a plate at your husband. Filled with food. Chaste. This means modest, clean, pure, not sexually provocative, to be well-arranged and innocent. Sad to say, many times good godly women feel like they have to be dowdy in appearance. Nothing could be further from the truth. One of the aspects and definitions of modesty is to be well-arranged. And you can be well-arranged without being sexy. You can be well-arranged without being provocative. You don't have to be flashy. You don't have to be worldly. And it's an amazing thing, though. You know, sometimes single folks are wondering why maybe they're not appealing to the certain godly crowd or whatnot. Maybe if they would watch their appearance and they would be modest in their behavior and so on, that maybe they would be attractive in a godly sense and they would attract the right kind of partner.
That's good, preacher. Come on. Hey.
You know, it's amazing the kind of people that the unsaved or the carnal will want to go after. But then when they want to settle down, they want a godly one. But they've set themselves up as a testimony of an ungodly example or provocative example or a carnal example. And so then they wonder, well, why can't I seem to get anyone? Where's the meek and quiet spirit? Where's the godliness and behavior? Chaste means modest. Lady, older ladies, you need to teach the younger ladies this. Keepers at home. A keeper means to guard the home. It means one who is a stayer at home. Well, that's not popular today. One who is domestically inclined. Well, you know, when you get into these word definitions, you just can't get away from it. It says they must be taught those things that will cause their husbands to safely trust in them and have their children rise up and call them blessed. We've got to put the value where God puts the value. And the value is in the eternal souls entrusted to the care of dad and mom. It's not in the house. It's not in the cars. It's not in those fantastic holidays. It's in those eternal souls that will live forever. Proverbs 31, verse 10 says, and some people say, well, you just expect ladies to be barefoot and pregnant all the time. You're a male chauvinist pig pastor. And nothing could be further from the truth. I want you to see a godly woman here. We always hold up this Proverbs 31 woman. Wow. You don't find her here just barefoot and pregnant and having no life. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships that bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. Oh, guys, you get this?
Yes, sir.
You are supposed to, I mean, your wife's pretty smart. She's a helpmate. Here's a lady who knows the finances of the home. She knows how to buy property. Some of the male chauvinist Christian guys, they think, oh, my wife doesn't need to know that stuff. Why not? She can save you from a lot of mess. I've gotten into some messes because I didn't talk to my wife. She's good at finances. I told her the other day, I said, when I die, you're going to do just fine. She said, that's because I've had to. But you know what? If I die, I don't want her to just be totally clueless as what to do next. She needs to know. This Proverbs 31 woman knew. She considereth the field and buyeth it. Okay, guys, you going to give your wife more than her allowance? The pittance you give her? That even when she tries to buy you a birthday present, she has to take it out of the grocery money that you don't know about? We'll go out on a men's retreat and spend $200 on fishing gear every year. And then we get upset if they want to buy a $40 dress for a ladies' retreat. We're a mess, aren't we? Things that are lacking. Wow. She girdeth her... I'm over time. She girdeth her loins with strength and straineth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. In other words, he's respected. Not just because of who he is, but because of who she is. Am I so naive to think that what little respect I may have is because of me? That's dumb. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for her. Wow. It says here, she maketh fine linen and selleth it in verse 24, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant, strength and honor her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Though, see, that's what's happened. We've got this immediate gratification idea. I want to be happy now. But in time to come, when it really matters. It says, she opened her mouth with wisdom. Ladies, when you open your mouth, does wisdom come out? And in her tongue is the law of kindness. Ladies, are you kind? Whew. Very convicting, isn't it? Even for we guys. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. Christian ladies, please look at that. Favor is deceitful. Well, it's amazing how people will try to sweet talk you. Watch those guys that come around trying to sweet talk you. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. Isn't it? Boy, you look at some before and after shots. I look at before when I was there in Nashville after my engagement. I look a whole lot different now than I did then. Beauty is vain. It's useless. It's empty. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Keepers at home. It means to guard. Ladies, guard your home. Guard your home. Letter G, good. To possess an all-around quality of goodness, one who does well by her house. These things have to be taught. Who's going to teach it? It can't just be the preacher. We don't have enough services in a week. Remember, I started off by, boy, you know, you go to that Baptist church, four services a week. Don't you get it? That's too much church. It's not enough to cover all these bases. And we haven't even gotten out of just these few verses. There's so much more that needs to be taught. So it's all of us working together. Good to possess an all-around quality of goodness. One who does well by her house. Letter H is obedient to their own husbands. It's interesting when you look at those passages. Own husbands, own husbands, own husbands, own husbands. Because it's always easier to obey somebody else. And that word obey, you know what obey means? It means to obey. It means to be in subjection to. We're not talking about worth. God doesn't look at a woman and thinks they're subservient. No, he says, look, the home has to run smoothly, and so I have an order established. The church has to run smoothly, so I have an order established. The society has to run smoothly, so I have an order established. And where things get awry is when one is supposed to be filling one role, and they want to assume the authority of another role. Child wants to run the house? Out of whack. The house is a mess. And so, obedient to their own husbands. You know, you live with your mate all the time, so you really know how they are, but you look at somebody else and you say, boy, I wish my husband was like them. And you don't have a clue what they're like at home. You don't have a clue what they're like out in the car. You have a clue what they're like out on the job. And you want to be like, you better just say, praise God, I've got the man I have. And all the ladies said, oh, wow. Guys, you know what? You need to show due benevolence. Have a disposition to do good, guys. Amen. Obedient. And notice that. You know what it means? Your own husbands? I got it right here in your notes. One's own. That means your husband. And then husband, notice three. Well, I did this for emphasis, obviously. Husband, man, your man. Okay? Obedient to your own man. Obedient to your own husband. Number three, lastly. If the young ladies do not learn these basics concerning womanhood, then it causes the unsaved world to blaspheme the God of heaven. Blaspheme means to defame, rail on, revile, to speak evil of, and to vilify. That's pretty strong language. The world looks at that and says, ah! Who wants to hear the gospel when the ladies live like that? When they behave like that? So older ladies, you've got some qualities to make sure that you're shoring up in your life, and you say, Pastor, I never knew these things. Aren't you glad God will take you where you are? And bring you where you need to be. And you may say, I never knew these things, but now I'm starting to become aware of them. So get in the Word, study, find out, okay, now what did I do and how could I do it better? How can I be the proper example now that I should have been back then? And I'll start from right here. Don't say, well, it's too late for me. I guess we'll just have to wait till the next generation gets older. No. Start where you are. Become that example now. Younger ladies, wow. You know what you're supposed to be like. You know the lessons you need to have learned. You need to find those godly ladies. You need to be teachable. You need to allow people to draw up alongside of you and say, hey, let me show you something. Let me tell you something. And then take it.